Welcome to Reign of Grace. This program is brought to you by Reign of Grace Media Ministries, an outreach ministry of Eager Avenue Grace Church in Albany, Georgia. It is our pleasure and privilege to present to you the gospel message of the sovereign grace and glory of God in the person and work of the Lord Jesus Christ. We pray that today's program will be a blessing to you. Thank you for listening, and now for today's program.
Welcome to our program today. I'm glad you could join us. And if you'd like to follow along in your Bibles, I'll be preaching from the book of 2 Timothy. 2 Timothy. This is Paul's second letter to this young man, this young evangelist, young pastor named Timothy. And in 2 Timothy chapter 3, and I'm going to begin in verse 14, and the title of the message is Where to Find Wisdom. Where to Find Wisdom. 2 Timothy 3, 14. Now, what is wisdom? You know, we could talk about that for days, I know. And, you know, somebody said, well, wisdom is more than knowledge. Wisdom is having knowledge. You must have knowledge to have wisdom. An ignorant person has no wisdom. But a person who, you must have knowledge, but a person can have knowledge without wisdom. And what I think people, most people mean by that is this: you can know a lot of things, but not know what to do with those things. A person who has wisdom knows a lot of things, but knows what to do with them. I've often said that you can get a lot of facts, but wisdom is more than just facts. Wisdom is knowing how to take those facts apart and put them together and make sense out of them for the walk of life, that kind of thing. Well, biblical wisdom, and what we're talking about here is salvation wisdom, is wisdom that comes from God, the only wise God, and through the Lord Jesus Christ, who is himself the wisdom of God. Now, 1 Corinthians 1 speaks of that. It talks about those who, the preaching of the cross, it says, which is the gospel, how Christ died on the cross to save his people from their sins, and the doctrines that go along with that. It says that preaching is foolishness to those who are perishing, but it's the wisdom of God to us who are being saved. And Christ is, you know, he talks about later on in 1 Corinthians 1, he says, the religious unbelieving Jews seek after a sign. They think they're going to find wisdom in some kind of a sign. And people, there are a lot of people like that today. He says the unbelieving Greeks, they seek after wisdom. In other words, they're seeking after human wisdom in their philosophies, their theories, their opinions. But Christ, he says, is both the power of God and the wisdom of God to them who are called. And that's what I want you to see in 2 Timothy chapter 3. He's talking to Timothy here in verse 14. And listen to what he says. He says, Timothy, continue thou in the things which thou hast learned and hast been assured of, knowing of whom thou hast learned them. Now, Timothy, apparently, he was one who whose father had died early in his life, and he was raised by his grandmother and his mother. And apparently they were very diligent to teach young Timothy the Word of God, the scriptures that they had at that time, which a lot of that would have been the Old Testament. And he says in verse 15, and that from a child thou hast known the holy scriptures. Now, the word scripture means the written word. You know, we talk about the word of God. Christ himself is the embodiment, the personification of the word. He is the word made flesh. That's his person. The glorious person of Christ. Who is Jesus Christ? He is God and he is man in one person. Every bit God, every bit human, without sin. Now, Christ was a human being. but he was also God. That's a mind-boggling truth that I can't explain to you, and you can't explain it to me, but it's so because the Bible says it. And so he's every bit man, but he was not a sinful man like I am. Like you are a sinful man, or all of us are sinful men and women. We fell in Adam and were born dead in trespasses and sins. Totally depraved by nature. And so Christ was not made that way. His humanity wasn't. He was made of the seed of David according to the flesh. But he was conceived in the womb of Mary by the Spirit of God and born as a sinless human being. And so when we talk about him, he's the incarnate word. It's what the word made flesh. And then we can talk about the Bible, the scriptures, that's the written word, and the gospel preached, that's the preached word. But he says, you have known the holy scriptures. That written word, which is separate from all others. There's no book like this book. Somebody told me one time there's too many books written, and that's probably true. And especially religious books. Now, I myself, I've written several books. But what I've tried to do, and just put my mind to this task, is to write books that are like my preaching. Books based upon the written Word of God, the Holy Scriptures, and books that are meant to guide people through the Scriptures. And that's what I've tried to do. You go to religious bookstores, you'll find so many books that are nothing more than philosophy, psychology, emotionalism, opinions. And I didn't want the books that I wrote to do that. I want them to be guides through the scriptures. And so when I tell people, when they read the books that I've written, I tell them, I say, well, have your Bible there, because there's no book ever written by any man that is equal to the Bible. Certainly none that stand above it. But there are books that can help you. I read commentaries written by gospel authors, true believers that I believe. And they help me to understand the scriptures. And that's what I wrote these books for. But he says, you've known the holy scriptures. And listen to what he says, verse 15 now, 1 Timothy 3, or 2 Timothy 3, which are able to make thee wise unto salvation through faith which is in Christ Jesus. Now that's a full sentence. The scriptures, the Bible. Now we have the completed written Word of God. In this book here, the Holy Bible, from Genesis to Revelation, the Old Testament, Genesis to Malachi, the New Testament, Matthew to Revelation, all 66 books, I believe they are God-inspired. You know, he says in verse 16, listen to this, all Scripture is given by inspiration of God. Now, that word inspiration means breathed out. And what he's talking about is it's God-breathed. This is the Word of God, not the Word of men. Now, I know it's a complicated thing. And you go into the bookstores and you'll see all kinds of different versions of the Bible. And different translations. And you'll see where men and women have interjected their ideas, their own personal ideas, into the scriptures. But you have to be careful. Now, I use the Authorized King James Version because I believe it stood true for so many years and has been subjected to so much criticism and objection, but it has stood the test. I also like the New King James Version because all it does is just remove the thees and the thous and put it into the modern language. I haven't found any. If I get a new version of the Bible, I'm very careful to go to certain passages of Scripture to see if people have interjected, taken out parts they don't like. For example, people by nature who claim to be Christian They don't like election. So they may either tweak, twist, or even remove passages that teach God's electing grace. Things like that. And so if they do that, they're not true versions of the Word of God. But this Word, I believe, is the God-breathed, inerrant Word of God. Now, I used to believe, when I was an unbeliever, I was very critical of the Bible. And I used to talk about how it had contradictions. But when God opened my eyes and made me wise unto salvation, then I began to see the Bible in a different light. And now I have such a respect for this book that I can't even describe it. This right here is my life book. This is what I preach. This is what I go by. This is what I show people. I'll never forget one time a lady called me and wanted to know if I was a marriage counselor. And I told her, I said, well, no, I'm a preacher of the gospel. I said, I sometimes counsel people, but I said, I'm probably not the kind of counselor you're looking for. And she said, what do you mean? I said, well, if a man and woman who are married are having trouble and they come to me and ask me my advice, what I do is I take them to the Word of God, and that's usually the last place that people want to go. And it's sad to say, but that's usually the truth. But this book is the book of life for me. And he says it's able to make you wise unto salvation through faith which is in Christ Jesus in verse 15. Now this is the wisdom of God concerning salvation. Where to find wisdom? We're talking about salvation. And that salvation is through faith which is in Christ Jesus. God-given faith which is in Christ Jesus. Well, what does that mean? Well, who is Christ Jesus? Well, this Bible tells you who he is. And I've said this all along. He is God in human flesh. I keep saying that, and I'll keep saying it, Lord willing. Because people today, they don't put a lot of stock in this. Christ, Jesus of Nazareth, Jesus Christ, is God manifest in the flesh. I preached on this last week. Great is the mystery of godliness. God was manifest in the flesh. He's the Word made flesh, dwelling among us, tabernacling among us. Grace and truth come by Jesus Christ. He is that which came from God. He's the second person of the Trinity, the Son of God, without beginning, without end. Co-equal with the Father and the Spirit and every attribute of deity. That's who he is. But see, this is the kind of person that it took to save his people from their sins. He had to be both God and man in one person. Over in the book of Hebrews chapter 2, he tells us in verse 14. Now listen to this. Now this is where wisdom is. Where to find wisdom? Well, in Jesus Christ, in the glory of his person, and in the power of his finished work. So it's through faith in Jesus Christ. Not, you know, somebody said, well, our faith is in a person. Well, it is, but it is in a person who accomplished a work, a task. And what did he accomplish? Well, look at Hebrews chapter 2. This is verse 14. It says, for as much then as the children are partakers of flesh and blood. Now, who are the children here? He's talking about the children of God. Now, who are the children of God? Well, there's the children of God. There's the children of the devil. But who are the children of God? Well, they're his elect people, whom God chose before the foundation of the world and gave to Christ. Put all of the conditions of their salvation upon Christ. And who are they? They're partakers of flesh and blood. That's their fellowship. We're all blood, flesh and blood. But because his children, his elect, his sheep, you might say, his church, were partakers of flesh and blood, he also himself likewise, in the same way, took part of the same. All right? He had to be flesh and blood. Now, he's not just flesh and blood. He's God. Manifest in the flesh. God with us. And His flesh and blood is not sinful as is ours. So He's the sinless God-man. Now, why did He do that? Well, Hebrews 2:14, that through death He might destroy him that had the power of death, that is the devil. And He's speaking of the devil's part in bringing in death in the garden by enticing Eve and getting Adam to side with him against God. That's when death came in. Satan doesn't have the power of death, that is, to make you alive or to kill you. That's God, only God has that power. The Lord killeth, the Lord maketh alive. Blessed be the name of the Lord, Job said. But Satan's power was only his power of a sinful temptation that brought Adam out of fellowship with God and into fellowship with Satan. And Christ, in his human body, came to die in the place of his children, God's elect, and redeem them from their sin and bring forth righteousness whereby God could justify them and give them life. And that's what he did. Now, in order to do that, he had to be made flesh and blood without sin. And so, back here in 2 Timothy 3, read it again, verse 15, that from a child thou hast known the holy scriptures, which are able to make thee wise unto salvation through faith which is in Christ Jesus. Now, these scriptures have the ability. All right? Now, what does that mean? Well, the ability is not just the words on a page. There's no magic in this book as far as actual power. The power comes from God through this book, through this word. It's the power of the Holy Spirit. If you go back to Romans 1:16, Paul says, "For I'm not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it is the power of God unto salvation to everyone that believeth." In other words, that gospel, that word, that good news of the glorious person and the finished work of Christ, who accomplished the salvation of his people by his death on the cross. He died, was buried, and arose the third day, showing that he made an end of sin and brought forth everlasting righteousness. Now, that message is empowered by the Holy Spirit to the salvation of the children of God, God's people. How do you know it's been empowered for you? Do you believe it? That's what he says here in 2 Timothy 3:15. Make thee wise unto salvation through faith which is in Christ Jesus. Now that faith is a gift from God, given by the power of the Spirit in the new birth. It's where a person comes to see and understand and believe the kingdom of God, the way God saves sinners, by his grace. By grace are you saved through faith, that not of yourself, the gift of God. All, same thing. Faith is the gift of God, empowered by the Holy Spirit through the preached word, this word here, unto the salvation of people, God's people, and as he brings them to faith in Christ Jesus. And look at verse 16 now. He says, all scripture is given by inspiration of God, as I said, that is God breathed, and it's profitable for doctrine. You know, a lot of churches today, these churches that claim to be Christian, the last thing they want to deal with is doctrine. Because they'll say, doctrine divides. Well, it does. You and I may not have the same doctrine. The question is this. Are you wrong? Am I wrong? Or am I right and you wrong? Are you right and I'm wrong? Or are we both wrong? How do we know? Well, all scripture is given by inspiration of God and is profitable for doctrine. Look over in the book of Romans chapter 6 with me. Let me tell you something. Years ago, I had some preacher friends who got on this kick about trying to make sure that people understand that salvation was not just a mental agreement or a head knowledge, but that it was a heart knowledge, that it was really something that really took part within us, within our heart. And, you know, of course, people, when they talk about the head and the heart, they'll point down here to the heart. I had a preacher say one time that the difference between saved and lost is how, what he, I think he said 12 inches from here to here. Well, the heart in the Bible is not this organ here. The heart in the Bible is the mind, the affections, the will, the inner man. It's what you are within yourself. And these preachers were trying to make sure that people understood that we're not saying that salvation is just a matter of an intellectual agreement to a doctrine. And they began to say things like this: you don't arrive at Christ through doctrine, you arrive at doctrine through Christ. Well, that's not true. And let me show you a verse of scripture. This is Romans 6:17. Listen to this. But God be thanked that you were the servants of sin. Now, to be a servant of sin here is to be an unbeliever. But you have obeyed from the heart that form of doctrine which was delivered to you, or which you were delivered to. Being then, verse 18, being then made free from sin, you became the servants of righteousness. You became believers in Christ, who is our righteousness. The only way we can arrive at Christ is through doctrine, the teachings. That's what that is, the scripture here. Verse 2 Timothy 3:16. It's profitable for teaching. It teaches me doctrinal truth of who Jesus Christ is, what he did, why he did it, where he is now. It teaches me the doctrine of God, who God is in his holiness and his justice, that he cannot look upon sin. He must punish sin where it's imputed to the sinner. It teaches me about who I am as a sinful person who cannot be saved by my works, that my best efforts to be saved will leave me in a state of condemnation. It teaches me of God's way of salvation through Christ, who he is and what he did, what he accomplished in his obedience unto death as my surety, as my substitute, as my redeemer, who is my righteousness before God. That's what it's about. And when the Holy Spirit takes those beautiful doctrines revealed in this word as they're preached, he brings a sinner to be profitable, because that sinner looks to Christ and rests in him for all salvation, for all forgiveness, for all pardon of iniquity, for all life and righteousness. He says in 2 Timothy 3:16, it's profitable for reproof and for correction, setting me right, for instruction in righteousness. How am I to be righteous in God's sight? Through Christ. How am I to follow after righteousness? By looking to Christ. And he says in verse 17 that the man of God, that's the godly person, that's the sinner saved by grace, justified based on the righteousness of Christ imputed to him, may be perfect. That means complete, mature. None of us are perfect in and of ourselves. We're perfect in Christ if we're saved. But we need to grow in grace and knowledge. And he says in verse 17, truly or thoroughly furnished unto all good works. What that means is that if we're made wise unto salvation, we see that we are fully equipped by God's grace with all spiritual blessings in heavenly places, whereby we can serve God acceptably, not because of any goodness in us, but because of Christ. That's where wisdom is, see? Good works don't save us. But by God's grace through Christ, as he saves us by his grace, washes us in his blood, and clothes us in his righteousness, and as he gives us life from the dead in the new birth and brings us to faith in Christ, we can serve him in good works, made good not by our goodness, but by his, washed in his blood. How does God accept my pitiful works? They're only acceptable in Jesus Christ. You see, that's the wisdom of God. That's what James is talking about. Good works don't justify you as far as being justified before God. The only thing that justifies a sinner before God is Christ, His righteousness imputed, His blood. But good works follow as the fruit and the effect of the power and the grace and the wisdom of God, which we see in Christ. And we start out, if we're saved by God's grace, we begin the race of grace thoroughly equipped, thoroughly furnished with everything necessary. Everything that God requires, I find in Christ. That's what Ephesians 1:3 says. We're blessed with all spiritual blessings in heavenly places in Christ Jesus. That's the whole hope of salvation. That's the wisdom of God. Now, the wisdom of God ensures that in this matter of salvation, God alone gets the glory. We get none for ourselves. We don't want any. You see, it's the wisdom of God that He be glorified, and that ensures the salvation of His people. My only hope of salvation is that God be glorified. If I take any glory for myself, that's not going to be salvation. That's going to be failure. Paul wrote in Galatians 6:14, God forbid that I should glory save in the cross of our Lord Jesus Christ. Our glory, the glory of every true child of God, the glory of everyone who's made wise unto salvation, is God in the person and finished work of Christ. And so we take no glory, want no glory, have no glory for ourselves. It's all in Him. We rejoice in Christ Jesus. We glory in Him. And as long as God gets the glory, we who believe in Christ are safe. That's the wisdom of God. Hope you'll join us next week for another message from God's Word.
We are glad you could join us for another edition of Reign of Grace. This program is brought to you by Reign of Grace Media Ministries, an outreach ministry of Eager Avenue Grace Church in Albany, Georgia. To receive a copy of today's program, or to learn more about Reign of Grace Media Ministries or Eager Avenue Grace Church, write us at 1102 Eager Drive, Albany, Georgia, 31707. Contact us by phone at 229-432-6969 or email us through our website at www.theletterrofgrace.com. Thank you again for listening today, and may the Lord be with you.